staff initiation thing. If they want to come in the studio today, be on the air, they have to sniff that.
I don't want to sniff it.
Well, here's the thing is, now I got to know what it smells like. I mean, without smelling it myself. Because why would I do that?
I'll smell it if you smell it.
Really? You smell it first.
But then you'll smell it?
Yes. 503-733-2970. Scotty, do you have any guesses yet as to what the thing is we had you smell? We had Scotty J. Now, if you were listening earlier on, you heard us reveal that we have an item here in the studio which has a scratch and sniff sticker on the front of it. Do you have any guess as to what it was, Scotty? No, it just plain stinks, though, he says. All right.
Am I smell it now?
If you smell it now, you have to, and just two things. The scale of 1 to 10, how bad it is. And then B, does it in fact smell like any particular item to you?
And you promise you'll smell it?
I totally will.
Promise?
I promise, yes.
Okay.
Okay, Sarah Dillon. That's a great look. You just sort of,
I don't know what that is.
You sort of pulled away, and then your eyes sort of went all slantways and cross-eyed.
Oh, it smells like what it's supposed to.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that a smell that's going to stay in your nose?
No, it's not too pungent, but...
Pungent. What a horrible word pungent is. Okay. Scratching.
So I wonder how many of these were made.
Hopefully not many.
Ugh.
Doesn't it?
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah. All right, let's move forward.
Oh, good God almighty. All right, here you go. Ladies and gentlemen, the guy is with the whole... Tim Riley here at the Ministry of Truth.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio.
That's no good at all.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, everybody's going to hate me because a lot of these are very unpleasant stories, but they must be told. First, the remote logging road that James Kim and his family drove down before getting stranded deep in that valley is normally blocked by a locked metal gate, but it was open the night they got lost because a vandal cut the lock.
Oh, the gate didn't work because the vandal broke the handle. Mm-hmm.
It's locked during winter so people don't mistakenly go down the road, said a spokesman for the U.S. Bureau of Land Management.
Oh, this sounds like ass covering. This totally, it's not our fault. It's an unknown vandal who we will never apprehend.
The gate was locked November 1st at the end of deer hunting season, but it was cut and searchers looking for the Kims discovered the gate was open. An investigation is underway to find out who cut the lock like that.
No, they're never going to find it because no one cut the lock. They forgot. The state forgot to lock the goddamn gate. That's why they went down this road. Is that true, Scotty? Did the news say a lawsuit? Well, of course a lawsuit. It's America. Everybody sues everybody for everything. That is totally the covering of the statewide ass, claiming that that gate should have been. We don't know how. It's supposed to have been locked. I am nothing. And that's totally, and that is the sound of the entire state shrugging. Everyone immediately pointing at the person next to them and going, I thought he locked the gate. Yeah, that's completely what that is. All right.
Meanwhile, James Kim died of hypothermia near a fishing lodge stocked with food. He had no way of knowing that the Black Bar Lodge was nearby. His body was found in shallow water, not too far from there. But about a mile away from the lodge, he could have found shelter, warmth, and enough food to last him for months.
Wait, let me just...
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
And a Happy New Year.
Tim Riley. A man has been shot in the face by an arrow.
I'm sorry. The thing is, is he alive?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Yeah, because the thing about the James Kim story just is just so dark and bad and depressing that everything else seems...
And this is kind of a pick-me-up.
Everything else seems relatively
jocular.
Except
for this poor fellow.
Oh, well, I mean, unless you're him.
He's in Southeast, so, I mean, he has to expect things like this.
That's what, like, when you move to Southeast, you have to sign a release form. I understand that any moment I may be set on fire, have my head removed, or be shot in a sensitive area of my body with a crossbow. All right.
So this fellow was shot in the face by an arrow, but managed to flag down a driver who took him to OHSU last night. According to Gresham Police, a man in a white pickup truck on 198th and Stark was flagged down to help the victim around 9 last night. The victim is 41-year-old Kevin Hart. He had an arrow sticking out of his face. Apparently, it entered his face near his eye.
Ah, now see, but...
Are you still laughing?
No.
Still think this is funny?
Still laughing now, funny man. The... or I could also go the Alec Baldwin way there with the, are you laughing now? You've got leads. The thing about that is, here's another bit of, you can tell this is a little bit of euphemistic writing in the news when they say the arrow. Now, is this an arrow from a bow and arrow or an arrow from a crossbow?
From a crossbow.
From a crossbow. Here's how you know that they're lying a little bit about this. Because when they say the crossbow entered his face, I was going to ask, where did it enter in the face?
It was sticking out of the front of his face.
But
and apparently entered the face near the man's eye.
Okay, but that's when they say near the man's eye, that's in his eye. Because you've got skull covering the rest of your face, it seems like. And it doesn't. Well, I'm speaking. We're just speaking the. No, it's not like a clown funny, Scotty. It's.
It's a, like an arrow in the face funny.
Like an, like a Steve Martin kind of humor with the arrow in the head. I'm sorry about that.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Now my eye.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
No, because you've got skull covering the rest of you. There are a finite number of openings on your face. Unless the arrow's a lot stronger, like it doesn't seem like it would be able to penetrate your skull, though. So it seems like when they say that's near the eye...
Well, with a little effort.
If you're really willing to work at it, put the time in.
You're in Gresham.
Yes. If you really were motivated. So it seems like that's just in the eye, is what that is. So did it... Now, who put the arrow there?
Apparently, the archer.
Legolas.
It wasn't put there, it was shot there.
No, but, well, that's a way of putting it there.
I suppose, yes.
That's really the fastest way.
Whatever is. Whatever is means.
That is the fastest way to put an arrow somewhere, is to shoot it. No, but I'm not trying to make light of this. I'm really not. I'm just saying that look. I know a whole lot of people in this world. I know a variety of folks who come from all walks of life. Yeah. I don't believe that I have ever... No, that's a lie, because it was once in high school. But since then, I don't believe I've ever been in a situation where there was any chance of me being shot in the face with a crossbow. I'm pretty sure I can say that for you, Tim, and I'm almost certain I can say it for Sarah.
I stay away from those things.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand what he was doing. You have to take... there are several steps between get out of bed in the morning and flagging down a car because someone has shot me through the face with a crossbow. There's a lot of choices one must make between point A and point Z there that take you to that end.
So does he at any point... I mean, had he...
Well, clearly he'd wronged someone. I mean, is it the... was it an accident, does it say?
I don't know.
You don't know whether it says it?
Oh, I know that it doesn't say it.
It's a known... a known unknown.
The police department, Sergeant Teddy...
Sergeant Teddy!
T-E-D-D-I, Anderson. Oh, what if that's a girl?
Sergeant Precious.
And it could be a lady policeman.
Commander
said the accident did not appear to be random, but would not elaborate further.
Okay. So, there you go. So, crossbow in the face. Okay. This is Chris. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I was going to say, a crossbow would have no trouble going through bone. They were invented to punch through steel armor, so...
Well, those are crossbows sort of
back in the days of Robin Hood.
Yeah, now they have better material.
Well,
even a standard bow and arrow, even a compound bow would have enough force to probably go through bone.
So it's robbing from the rich to get to the poor. But in Gresham, it's probably robbing from the poor to get to the poor.
Robbing from the poor because it's fun and easy. Why do you know this?
Just history studies.
Were you in Gresham last night around 9:30?
I was just going to say, and can you account for your whereabouts? Now, do you own a crossbow?
No, I don't.
Have you ever owned a crossbow?
No, I have never owned a crossbow.
All right. No, I'm just...
Would you like one for Christmas?
I'm... There's going to be one. There's going to be one available that a guy's probably not going to be using much in the future. Now, when I was in high school,
back of a truck.
When I was in high school, my friend Ron actually had a crossbow that he would just. And I think he built it. Boy, it was a different time. I think he built it himself in wood shop. We talked one time about weird things that guys built in wood shop, like gun racks and crap that you could never build now. My friend Ron actually had a crossbow that he built in our high school wood class, but I'm pretty sure that he. I don't know that he ever actually used it on anybody. So, is that a thing you can just buy in a store?
Yeah, probably any hunting store, I'd imagine.
Well, there you go. It's going to be all the rage this Christmas. All right, thank you.
Or on any Renfair-type junk store.
All right, that's fair, F-A-I-R-E. Thank you, sir.
There you go.
There you go. That's all right. Let's see. Chad, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yes, I wish to be guessing on what the mystery object was.
Oh, that Scotty was smelling?
Yes.
Sarah, how do we feel about that?
No.
No, no, we feel badly about that. We were going to...
Was it the spinner from the Game of Life?
thank you. Oh,
okay,
congratulations. Thank you, sir. thank you. No,
we doubted you, sir.
We're going to reveal it later on, but thank you. There you go. That's Chad on the Rick Emerson Show. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a popular hip-hop disc jockey is struggling to survive today thanks to gunshot wounds. His fans poured out their anguish and prayers on the air and online. Carl Blaze, born Carlos Rivera, is in critical condition today at Harlem Hospital. Police say he was shot at least 13 times outside an apartment near the building where he lives in Manhattan, and his jewelry was snatched. Blaze, who is 30, joined the hip-hop radio station, Power 105.5, an urban station, almost 3 years ago after building a fan base by spinning records at local clubs.
Yeah, this world just isn't fair. How is it that John Lennon gets shot, once or something, and he's immediately dead? This guy, did this guy do anything? Now, was it just outside his house? He was just hanging
outside
around?
Outside his house, yes.
Oh, so he wasn't instigating.
He was wearing a white metal diamond chain with the initial CB when he was shot. At 4:30 a.m. outside a house.
So this was just a robbery. So he wasn't he wasn't engaged in any hooliganism that we know of. I'm just saying, how do you live? How can you be shot 13 times and still be alive? That doesn't even seem. What kind of
New Yorkers are tougher than most.
Well, I was seriously, what kind of weak ass gun?
This was a shotgun, apparently.
You can't be... Okay, that's not true. You cannot be shot... Even I know
it
that.
It says shotgun wounds.
But 13 times? Sarah, you fired a shotgun when you were in Wisconsin. There's no shooting someone 13 times. This whole story... This is a day full of...
It wouldn't seem like there would be a lot left of somebody shot.
Seriously, you take that guy home in a glad bag. This is a day full of news stories that are missing in large sections.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the news is all very incomplete today. Okay.
So it had nothing to do, apparently, with the fact that he was a hip-hop disc jockey.
No, I'm sure it was a complete coincidence.
Fans of that are just salt of the earth.
I'm sure there's absolutely no connection at all between that. It's going to probably... one in a billion chance, I'm sure. All right, here's Tim Riley.
But I remember those type of fans from the hip-hop station in L.A.,
Really?
Yes.
Tell me.
It was called Power 106, and what happened was, I was working on the Queen Mary and the Halloween show, and it was Power 106 night.
Oh.
And as members came onto the ship, they took bats and knocked out all the lights.
Is that true?
Yes.
Really?
And I was Dracula in the coffin, and because I fear for my safety, I closed myself into the coffin for about an hour until an all clear was sounded. That the Power 106 fans have been cleared from the Queen Mary.
Until I ran out of air. I can just picture you inside. Are they? Crap. It's fantastic. So you were... what was your job?
Was Dracula.
And your job was just to wander around, you know?
No, just lie in the coffin.
Boris Karloff is not fit to smell me. Yeah, okay. So
in come the Power 106 fans, and you're all just...
smashing everything in sight.
Uh-huh. So luckily for me, I just pulled the top of the coffin shut, and they probably thought it was a coffin display. Nobody bothered to try to open it, thank goodness.
They didn't decide not to loot the coffin?
Yes. At least they respected a coffin.
That's fantastic.
Little else.
Okay. Mick, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I have a solution for the guy being shot 13 times.
When you say a solution...
Well, perhaps an answer.
About how he could survive being shot 13 times with a shotgun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, shotgun is just a coagulation of a bunch of pellets. Maybe they're talking 13 pellets hit the guy.
That seems unlikely. First of all, how would you be able to count the number of pellets unless you had to remove them all one by one, which I guess maybe is possible?
That's probably what they had to do.
And there are many, 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 there are many more pellets than 13, aren't there?
I believe so. I don't know. I'm not a shotgun aficionado.
You're not a shotgunist. You're not a shootist in manner of John Wayne.
Negatory.
All right. Thank you, Mick.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a tremendous amount of help. Brandon, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I'm not sure. I couldn't hear that last caller. He may have been saying what I was calling in to say, but do you think maybe they mean he took 13 shotgun pellets from one shot? Because think of how long it would take you to reload a shotgun 13 times.
That's what I'm saying. It's like the guy was just sort of, you know, the guy was on the gun. The other guy's like, wait, you don't have it to be anywhere, do you? No, okay, let me reload. Hold on. Yeah, because that's a lot of work. That's like a good 40 minutes of, you know, and then you got to stop for lunch. And
right. And I mean, unless it was double barrel, in which case he could probably do a light snack.
It's good breaking for tea. All right, thank you.
Exactly.
All right, there you go. All right, fantastic. Excellent. Why would it doesn't seem like this is the Queen Mary? This is the boat,
yeah,
right?
The boat, yes.
It doesn't really seem like that fits the Power 106 demographic.
Oh, it did that? Nice.
Are you sure they were supposed to be there? They didn't just pick that ship to go loot? They didn't just, let's go ride over there on that ship.
Right. Well, it was promoted as Power 106 night on the Queen Mary for Halloween.
If you all have spent any time in Los Angeles and listened to Power 106, you know that there's just certain things. That just doesn't make any sense. That'd be like us having AM 970 night at like a calf roping contest or something.
They figured deep down that the $20 entry fee would keep them away. It did not work. They each managed to find $20 to board this ship. There were hundreds of them.
They each managed to rob someone.
Yes.
And to obtain the necessary entry fee. All right. Good Lord. All right.
Well, I lived through that.
By hiding inside a coffin.
That's correct.
That really is fantastic. All right. did you have the fake teeth that were like an accordion inside your mouth, or were they the expensive kind that were affixed to your teeth with epoxy?
They fell out right away as soon as I heard them coming. I was probably lying on top
just
of them.
Slamming the coffin lid down, trying to breathe all shallow so no one hears you inside. Mm-hmm. All right. Did I leave my bling at home? Here's Tim Riley.
Well, we have a terrorist story because it is Friday and we want everyone to be afraid for the weekend.
All right.
A Chicago area man allegedly plotted an attack on a shopping mall during the holiday season. He's been arrested by the feds. Special ATF agent Tom Ahern says 22-year-old Derek Sharif was apprehended in an undercover sting operation.
We know that he did discuss setting hand grenades off in various points throughout the shopping mall using semi-automatic weapons to carry out his mission of destruction, and then met with the undercover ATF agent to carry out his plot.
Oh, I've planned that dozens of times. You almost never follow through on those things.
Sharif thought he was getting weapons for his terrorist plot.
He met with an undercover ATF agent in a shopping mall in the Rockford area and thought that he would be taking possession of four hand grenades and weapons in order to carry out terrorism.
It's unknown whether others were working with Sharif.
At this point, we're not certain as to exactly if he was acting alone. It appears that he was acting alone at this time. That part of the investigation is still underway.
You know, anytime you're going to meet, don't ever meet somebody. I hate to give advice to criminals because it doesn't really work anyway. Criminals
trade money for hand grenades.
Criminals never get any smarter. You would think that by now, criminals all seem so freaking stupid that you would think they would all have inadvertently killed themselves or just, you know, that they would all be incarcerated and this problem would be over. Because criminals don't ever seem, you would think that natural selection would mean that criminals got smarter over time, and they never do.
Oh, no.
You meet somebody online, you meet somebody in MySpace who's offering to sell you either hand grenades or their daughter. That is a federal agent. You're never speaking, I would say, at any given time. Probably two-thirds of the people on the internet are speaking to someone who is not who they think it is. It is never who you think it is on the internet. So, and if it's not who you think it is, that's because it's a guy with a gun who's waiting to put you in the pokey.
Meanwhile, Nancy Pelosi got to meet one of her favorite people today as the president met with congressional leaders.
The president admitted that some new tactics might be needed. But the president conducted the meeting in a spirit of openness and willingness to meet on a regular basis so that we can make sure that we do the right thing by the American people.
Nancy Pelosi from the gutless Republic of San Francisco.
San Francisco values crowd. You know, the great thing about that is not only is he having to meet with somebody who's party just completely whomped him, as they say in the South. But the fact that it's a woman, too, just makes it all the sweeter for us and all the more horrid for him. Welcome to your nightmare, sir.
Here's the president says the White House and Congress must work together for the good of all Americans.
Senator Frist, we appreciate your service to the United States of America. You brought a lot of dignity to the office, and I appreciate the Speaker being as well. Mr. Speaker, you've done a fine job as Speaker.
You've done a heck of a job.
I look forward to working with Senator Reid and Congresswoman Pelosi.
Oh, yeah, sure he does. I bet he can't wait. Getting up earlier every day. Fantastic. Are these all calls about shotgun wounds?
You bet. We've really struck a nerve here.
No, we...
These stories are chosen carefully to appeal to our demographic. We don't need any consultant telling us what to do around here.
Really, it's true. Can you imagine... Can you imagine how horrified? We really ought to retain a consultant. Like, I wonder if they do trial periods. You know, like when you go to, like, some internet site, and it's like, you know, trial period, 1 week, and then you renew or whatever at the end, or it's like some, like a software program where it's, like, free for 30 days, and then you got to fork over, like, $10. We ought to see if there's some consultant that will, like, consult us for free for 30 days, just as, like, a... And we'll claim that it's just because we want to, you know, we're testing out whether or not to get a kid. Could you give us just an overview of the station? Then we'll decide whether to retain your services. Because that's how a lot of consultants do it. Mm-hmm. This was famously depicted on an episode of WKRP in Cincinnati, where there was a consultant friend of, I believe, Andy's, who they brought in, who surveyed the station because he was pitching his service, blah, blah, blah. So he gave the free assessments. And the consultants always find lots of problems. I do know that I've picked up your call, Cecil. We'll get to you in a second. The consultants always find lots of problems at radio stations because they have to justify their ridiculous jobs. And so, because if a consultant comes in and says, well, like, things are running dandy. Guess you don't need me. You know, he's just screwed himself out of X thousand dollars a year. So consultants always come in and tell you that everything you're doing on the station is being done poorly and that you have made all the wrong choices and that no one knows what they're doing. And then... It's like the Ron Popeil thing, where they give you the problem you didn't know you had, then they offer you the solution. Do you have green, scaly skin? And it's like, you didn't think it, but boy, I guess I do. Well, here, I've got the solution. So it is with consultants. They come in, you know.
I want you to breathe a life into these liners.
And this is what, and I'm going to put a laminated photo of some white people above the microphone. I want you to speak directly to them. Their names are Charlie and Susan. Their daughter is named Penelope. They enjoy hunting, fishing, and praying to the god of their choice. That's what they always do. I have worked at so many stations where, I swear to God, I worked at an oldie station, and it was like they had found the most Mormon-looking couple they could possibly imagine. They had laminated their photo, put it about, and they, this is your audience. Speak to them. More to her. That was it. That was what the consultant did. We got to see if we can get a consultant to come in and just monitor the station for 30 days just so we can see how horrified they are by everything we do.
Oh, there are lots of them out there.
Scrabbling around death.
Some market's not available.
Well, I have to answer this call because it's Cecil we've already picked up. Hello, Cecil.
How you doing, Rick?
What's up?
Well, I tell you, the average high-powered crossbow will fire that bolt at a rate of speed 325 feet per second. That's the length of a football field.
So what you're saying is this would go into not just your eye, but perhaps these scully bits around your eye.
It would potentially, at short range, go through both sides of your skull.
Really? So they would go in the front of your head and out the back?
Oh, yeah.
He says, oh, yeah. That was like a little Randy Macho Man Savage there.
And, you know, the shotgun thing is also interesting. You don't know what gauge the shotgun is.
Tim?
You don't know what size the pellets are.
Tim?
Yes.
Nothing. No, sir. No, we don't know any of that. We don't really have facts for most of these stories.
I mean, you got to go look at Cheney. You know, he was using birdshot, which is a very small pellet, and they slow down real fast.
Yeah.
So they're not going to create as much damage.
What would you rather be shot with, a shotgun or a crossbow?
At what distance?
15 feet.
The crossbow.
Really?
Yeah.
What if I was aiming at your nads?
Definitely the crossbow. I might lose one third, hopefully not the major third,
the major third? Is that like a? Is that on the Mixolydian scale? I'm sorry, that's a joke for our musician friends.
Well, yeah, I could use one of the boys as long as.
Yes.
Yeah, but a whole throat is a lot different than having it shredded.
That's the phrase of the day, by the way, for everybody out there. A hole through it is a lot better than having it shredded. That advice will keep you in good stead throughout your life, no matter who you are. All right, thank you, Cecil.
You're welcome, Rick.
Makes you want to crush your legs.
It really does. It's kind of the best day ever already.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Break, come back. We've got some more phone calls here. Tim Riley returns at the Ministry of Truth in mere minutes. Later on, Jim Roop talks about Britney Spears. Aaron Geek in the City Duran is here. We find out what it is that this Scotty J has been scratching and sniffing, and we talk about the worst sound ever. You stay there for the Rick Emerson Show.
Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Breaking news: a woman who disappeared after visiting her daughter at Dornbecker's has been found dead in her truck in a ditch. Kitty Lamecki was found in her overturned vehicle off Highway 26 between Mitchell and Prineville. A helicopter spotted the truck. She had visited her daughter at Dornbecker Monday, stayed with her, and then was supposed to head back to the family home in John Day, but she never arrived. Mm. Well, the House Ethics Committee has found... Oh, I've got the wrong stack. That's coming up later.
Tease?
That was a tease.
All right.
That's because his story about actor Wesley Snipes is more important. He has been released on $1 million bond today following an arrest on tax fraud charges. He went to before a federal judge who released him on bond pending his trial for tax fraud and conspiracy. The actor let his lawyers do most of the talking, although he was emphatic on one point.
Said that I didn't flee.
And he did not flee.
I was already gone.
Don't always bet on black. I'm sorry. I should have been more prepared with that line. Wait, what
is that? I didn't flee. And he did not flee.
Was well, gone? He was in, like, Belize or someplace, wasn't he? I mean, unless you just... I mean, I guess if you're Wesley Snipes, you can kind of... Really, you can just kind of go wherever you wish. Who's going to stop that guy? All right, so there you go, Wesley Snipes. Let's see. Well, let me get the... Ryan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, I had two things. I was just sitting at home using a store to try to get my girlfriend's pink razor cell phone out of my toilet. Listen to your show, as I always do, and I figured I'd call it about the shotgun shells.
I'm sorry? You were at home doing what?
My girlfriend flushed her pink cell phone razor down the toilet.
That's the kind I had. I hated that phone.
Did she do it inadvertently or out of anger?
I think it was inadvertently. She dropped it down. She'd go to the bathroom, and I've been spending my day, as I always do, listening to your show. And all I could find to get it out was a sword before I figured out it might be on your next stopwatch.
Who's, well, of course, why do I even need to ask? Is this your sword?
Well, it's my brother's sword.
It's just sort of sitting around?
Yeah, basically.
Is this like a samurai-style sword?
Yeah, I got it for it when I was in Japan.
Now, it doesn't seem like a sword is bendy. Don't you need something? Where, let me ask you this. Are we speaking about just a regular run-of-the-mill garden variety toilet?
Yeah, basically.
And this is a Motorola Razr phone. These are very thin. They're about like, they're like a little bit like a deck of cards, but maybe thinner. When they're full, yeah. With the phone folded up?
I don't know. I haven't found it yet.
All right. So now, the phone has fallen into the toilet, and it is it's back in there. In other words, you can't see it?
Not yet, no.
Are there articles within the toilet that hamper your observation?
Is the path to this? Oh, that's a good question. Is the path to the Motorola Razr being blocked by perhaps any other material?
No, I actually took the time to drain the toilet before I went doing this.
When you say took the time to drain, here's what I'm saying. Was she engaged in some bathroom business when this happened?
Oh, yes.
Now, we have to know. The people have to. I'm sorry, Tim, this is interrupting the news here, but I have
this is a legitimate news story.
This just in. Guys, there you go. All right, so now, I have to ask this. Now, had she done the number one? Or I'm curious. Everybody wants to know.
Nobody wants to know.
I don't think she'd be telling the truth on the matter.
Tim, do you wish to know?
Well, I have a morbid curiosity.
That's what I'm saying. I speak for everyone in this lunch hour. Had she been doing the one or the two, sir?
Well, she was doing number one, but I hoped the toilet would still work, so number two had happened before I decided to drain the toilet.
I don't understand. She's in the bathroom to do the first bit of business, the number one. She drops the phone into the toilet.
Right.
Then
and
you can
it still kind of worked. So I figured it might work, but then someone tried number two, mainly me, and then it stopped working.
So great.
So you took care of your own business before you conducted the search.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about. Now, you knew the cell phone was in the toilet when you used the toilet yourself for the sit-down business?
Well, it was speculated. We couldn't find it anywhere. It's kind of rare that a toilet or a cell phone drops out of the toilet, so that's the only place we can figure it went.
So you're not really sure that the cell phone is in the toilet. It's just a process of elimination, so to speak.
Basically, yeah.
And you are basing this on the fact that the toilet had kind of worked, and then once you engaged in your own bit of business, it stopped working. Now, have you thought that perhaps it was just your business that has rendered the toilet non-workable?
Well, yes. But I plunged it and everything, and then after that, it still would work.
When you say you drained it, how does one... you're not talking about the tank, you're talking about the bowl. How do you drain the bowl of the toilet? Did you have to use, like, a glass or something?
No. I just turned the water off and kept plunging until all the water was gone.
Oh, that's true, because when you... Now, right. Here's a question. Here's a thing I wonder about. This really is like some horrible in hell version of an NPR show or something. I sound like we should be like click and clack. Now, when you turn the toilet off... So when you turn the water off to the toilet and then you plunge... Here's something I don't understand. Maybe, Tim, maybe you know this.
This is the news hour.
This is news.
It is.
Tim, would you agree that this is news?
I do. And being
you're
a landlord, I just might know.
See, Tim might know the answer to these things. Tim, when you plunge a toilet, where does that water go?
It magically disappears. Down the drain.
How is that possible, though? Because
it's an act of suction.
But it seems like when you... I thought when you use a plunger on a toilet, how's your lunch working out for you?
You're clearing the trap that everything goes down.
Oh, I see. So you're not actually bringing the whatever it is back up into the toilet.
No. You're forcing it down.
The suction is clearing the trap, and then it drains away.
That's correct.
All right, okay. So you tried, drained the toilet
bowl.
You've
never used a plunger?
I have, but I've used a plunger, but I'm saying I don't know how it worked. Like, I don't understand where the water goes to.
As a matter of fact, my tenant just got a brand new toilet and a toilet seat.
At least he thinks it's brand new.
Well, that's what the receipt stands for. And the seat was bought without my permission, but what can I say? I'll do anything to keep my tenants happy.
Of course. Just wrap it in duct tape. No, file off the serial number. I don't know. I don't know anything about. Just make the problem go away. Get Haldeman on it.
And the problem no longer exists. So it doesn't.
Tell them what called the INS.
I got a thank you note for a new toilet along with a rent check this month.
Fools.
But she didn't bother to tell me a new toilet seat was included till I checked the receipt.
So gullible. All right. So the tank has been drained.
Yes.
You believe the phone is now out of sight. Now, how is a sword going to help you? I can't believe I'm having this discussion. How is a sword going to help you with this? Because a sword doesn't seem very flexible, sir.
Well, I just needed something to get in there far enough to... But it kind of worked at an angle.
It's at an angle, though, but a sword is metal. It doesn't seem like it bends a lot.
Well, back in the days of the Knights of the Round Table, there was very little available.
You know what I'm saying?
It's, that was long enough.
No, I'm saying it's not like it's behind a refrigerator and you got to get like a yardstick or something back there to bring it out. If you're standing above the toilet, if the cell phone is in the toilet, back so far that it's out of reach, that's like a 70-degree angle. Your sword is never, and when I say sword, I'm not speaking euphemistically. I mean, your actual sword doesn't bend like that. It's never going to work, sir.
Well, I tried it from the top and I tried it from the bottom just to be able to see if I could find out that the cell phone was actually still in the toilet or it was down in the drain.
Now, have you tried putting your hand as deep into the toilet as you can?
Yeah, I tried that yesterday, but I was smart enough to put a plastic bag around my
hand. This is a two-day...
So the cell phone, you think, has been in the back of this toilet for 2 days?
Yeah.
Now, here's the next thing everybody in the audience is wondering that I alone will ask. Does that mean that you're having to go... You're leaving your house and having to go elsewhere for your business?
We actually are blessed with two toilets at our
house. Oh, that is, boy... I have to tell you, that is, let me speak now to everyone. When you are looking for houses, and some of you who may have experience in realty may understand this as well.
Bathrooms add value to a home.
It really is. That is the single biggest difference between a bad house and a good house, between a bad relationship and a good relationship, is a second.
I can lose four cell phones.
You could have, no, because people come over to visit, you've got guests, you've got family, you've got whatever, and it's like, if you know somewhere, and especially if there's like a bathroom that only you are able to get to, it's in a bedroom, it's in the back, it's in a locked guest room, a secret toilet that you can always use. I have to tell you this, and this is back, I'm sorry, this whole day has just now gone down the toilet, so to speak. But really, this is relatable. This
yes,
is a
is.
Very different... And see, that's the thing. I lived, and this is not Laura, but this is another woman I lived with in the past. And we quarreled frequently. We did not have a very smooth relationship. But I got to tell you, the smoothest time in that relationship ever was when we lived in a place with two bathrooms. We lived in a place with two bathrooms for a while, and I got to tell you, it was just like... It was like a weight off of everyone's shoulders. I was happy. I had a spring in my step. Because you're not having to wait. You're not having to clean it, you know, the same way that they do. You don't have to be, there's no awkwardness about any of your, someone using the bathroom perhaps right after you have. When the bathroom portion of your life is happy, you are happy. And when your bathroom portion of your life is unhappy, every day is an exercise in gloom and despair, and agony on me. All right. Do we have Scotty? Who is this? Is line two another guy named Ryan? Well, this isn't going to get confusing. All right, Ryan number one.
Yes.
Okay, hang tight there. Okay, now I'm going to bring up Ryan number two. Hello,
Eric.
Ryan number two. For the purposes of this call, you are not Ryan. You are Ted. Okay.
Fine.
Okay, Ted.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, Ted, talk to Ryan.
Okay, Ryan. All you gotta do is go to a hardware store and get a snake.
Yeah, that was right.
They might even have one that they can loan you. Believe it or not.
Okay, yeah, that's why I was going to my dad's to do, because the sword failed.
No, I'm stunned. All right. So, you don't even know that the phone is necessarily there.
Well, it's in a bathroom, so it could have gone too far, and the only possible place it could have gone was down the toilet.
Oh, so she knows that she dropped it somewhere in the bathroom.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is all going to end badly. Well, look at the upside. She won't have to use a Motorola Razor when she's done.
Right, but I think
she's
gonna go buy another one anyways.
Tell her to get that Motorola Q. That's a fantastic phone. All right, thank you, Ted.
It's easier.
Yeah, no,
it's easier to flush too, isn't it?
It really is true.
It won't get stuck.
No, it's true. All right. Real quickly here. Matt, you're on with Ryan, who is trying to fish his girlfriend's cell phone out of the toilet with a sword. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
What's up?
Not much. I was just thinking if that the cell phone is somewhere in the bathroom, what you need to do is have somebody call the cell phone to see if it is, in fact, down the toilet.
Well, it would be done if you heard a gurgling noise.
It seems like if you don't hear it ring, then you know it's in the toilet. If it rings...
Well, no, if the water's all gone, you should be able to put your ear down into the bowl and hear something.
Just breathe those germs right deep into your alveoli. Just inhale those toxins right into your lungs.
Exactly.
Well, no, but now, is that true? Do you think by this point, how long has the water been drained out, sir?
Well... I just drained it this morning.
Oh, see, so it may not work.
Right. And you'd think the cell phone would die as soon as it hit water being electronic.
No, that is true. Unless
you could dry it off if you put a hair dryer into the hole and turn the heat up on high.
That's true. That's what you want to do is plug in a hair dryer and dangle it right over the toilet bowl. And then take it in the shower with you. You are a bad person, Tim Riley.
Well, that's something we talked Scotty into doing.
Do you have a toaster? You know what Grace Great is? Toast in the bath. There's nothing like a nice piece of freshly toasted bread while you're in a sauna. All right. Thank you, Matt.
No problem.
All right. John, you're on with Ryan.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Tell Ted he's wrong. You got to go to the hardware store or whatever. For about $10, you buy a thing called a toilet auger. Okay? And what
auger.
The plan is, it's an auger. It's like,
barely newer.
Like a long, thin tube with a part of a snake hanging out of one end and a crank handle on the other.
This all sounds so pornographic.
I know. And I've done this a lot of times. What you do, your intent is to bust the phone up, and then it'll fall away down the toilet. The phone's toast anyway.
Ryan, are you listening to this?
Yeah, I am. You put your snake into the hole,
and you crank it around a few times. And eventually, you make a crunching noise. You're killing me.
I'm just sitting here. I didn't say a goddamn word.
Just make a crunching noise. And
put your snake into the hole and crank it around until it makes a crunching noise.
And then the phone is toast, and you can go back to your business and should flush.
Now, this auger just destroys whatever's on the other end.
Pretty much. They're basically designed to look like a diaper or something, but if you crank it around enough, it'll wrap around the item and then just kind of crush it by the torque that you put on it.
I got some people I'd love to use that on. All right. So there you go. So Ryan, he's saying you need an auger. Thank you, John. There you go. Snake into the hole. All right. Patrick, you're on the Rick Emerson Show with Ryan, who has a cell phone in his toilet. He's trying to get out with a sword. Hello, sir.
No.
Patrick?
Yeah.
Okay, what's up?
Well, I used to work at a Radio Shack, and I got to tell you, if that cell phone was at all wet, it's not working anymore.
Somebody had just emailed me, and they told me that, and I've heard this before. I am to understand, because now you all may remember, good Lord, what a retarded program this is, just in every way, specifically, generally, today, every day. Now, you all may remember me talking about how I had my last phone, and I dropped it into a hot mug of coffee. And then, insult to injury, I reached in after it, burned my hand, blah, 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 blah. I took it into the Verizon store, and the guy, and I tried to lie about it. I'm like, I just quit working. I don't know what. And the guy opened it up, and there's that sticker on the inside that turns red when it gets wet. And he's like, yeah, you dropped it in the water. Buy another one, jackal. But here's the thing. I have heard since then that if you drop a cell phone in the water, it quits working. What they then told me, and the engineers across the hall might know about this, if you then fully submerge it in alcohol, and I don't mean like beer, but like a denatured alcohol, like rubbing alcohol, if you fully submerge the cell phone in alcohol for an hour or two, and then let it dry, and then take it out, then it works, because what the alcohol does is immediately dissipates water. The alcohol immediately dissipates water and dries the phone out. You think of alcohol as being wet, but it's not water. It's its own property, and it immediately removes all water from the phone.
Okay. Well, that may be true, but that's going to be hard to do when the phone is down a toilet.
Well, that's a fair point, sir. I don't really have any response to that, and also it smells of poo. I mean, I'm just speculating. All right, thank you, sir.
Sure.
There you go. All right, Ryan. All right, Ryan. So what is your plan of attack now, sir?
I think I'm going to go get a snake so I can put my snake down the hole.
You have to quit. All right.
This show, copyright 2006, Rick Emerson Show.
Thank you. All right. What I want you to do is, are you going to go to the store to buy the snake?
I actually go to my dad's tomorrow's snake.
Tomorrow? When did the...
No,
we're not...
I go to my dad's.
Oh, I thought you said tomorrow. Dad. Okay, when? Okay, now, will that be within the next 2 hours, sir?
I'm on my way right there. I pulled over so I can have the time to talk with you.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, so what I want you to do is to call us back when you get back to the bathroom with the snake.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Ryan. Bathroom talk. That right there is relatable. You can hear the male demographic increasing. With every second, we talked about fishing something out of a toilet with a snake and an auger. Okay. You're right, though. That man, that second, third, fourth, ninth bathroom, whatever it is, that adds... You will never... Sarah, you have one bathroom at your place, right?
Well, Manuel has his own bathroom.
Oh,
which
hoity,
I've never, yeah, which I've never seen. I don't know. He keeps his room closed all the time.
Keeps the cheerleaders. The rest of you only have the one bathroom.
Yeah, so Ben and I share a bathroom. It's actually pretty decent-sized, and except for we get up at the same time.
See, that's no good.
But he takes very quick showers, so do I. It's not too bad.
Yeah, you know, I don't even need a bath.
I think I'm worse than Ben. Well, Ben actually cleans the bathroom. I think he gets mad at me because I don't.
See, that's the second. You have your own private bathroom? Like, if this girl and I, man, she had one, I had the other. Pff, I cleaned it every now and again, maybe. Didn't matter. Leave your socks in there all week long. Doesn't matter. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, a feisty Texas grandma took matters into her own hands when a carjacker menaced her with a knife, demanding she hand over her GMC Denali. 75-year-old Mary Jean Smith said the man's criminal behavior made her mad, so when he climbed into the car and put down his knife, she took action.
As he slammed the door, I grabbed the nozzle because it was still fueling, and I just grabbed it and jerked the door open and started with his face and went down.
What the hell was that sound? Was that somebody in the studio? What is with all these news clips having weird bodily
As
noise
he slammed
sounds
the
in them
door,
again?
I grabbed the nozzle because it was
Listen
still
for the
fueling,
sound of someone.
And I just grabbed it and jerked the door open and started with his face and went down.
What is that sound? That like somebody going.
As he slammed the door.
That's someone.
I grabbed the nozzle because it was still fueling.
That's someone's nose.
And I just grabbed it and jerked the door open and started with his face and went down.
It's like that guy in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Last one come out sideways. She didn't scream or nothing.
Mary Jane Smith and another man reported her car stolen in this 911 call.
Which way did he go?
He went, this is west. It's east. He went east on, what's the street here?
He was covered with gasoline.
Oh, she doused him with gasoline.
Oh, fantastic.
Hang on just a second.
Oh, she doused him. Was he set ablaze at any point?
Well, we'll have to get to that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Mary Jane says the fact the carjacker was only armed with a knife helped make a decision to fight back.
He was already in the car, and he couldn't turn the keys on and steer, you know, and have a knife in his hand. So if he'd had a gun, I think I would have thought differently about what I did.
Oh, that's so great that she doused him with gas.
Mm-hmm. Mary Jane said the car dealership and the gas station where she were carjacked was very kind to her.
They're detailing out my car, stripping carpeting and all of that. And the Brookshire Grocery family have said all bills need to come to them. So everyone has been so kind and gracious.
Excellent. Well done. Well done. Well done.
She could have struck a match, but this is the Christmas season.
No, it's a time of forgiveness and second chances, Tim Riley. Mm-hmm. Okay. We should probably break here. We break. We'll come back. We will get to more news. That news hour became... How great.
Well, those are very helpful tips.
No, it's, you know what it is? And that's those are subjects on which everyone can weigh in.
It's like DIY.
Yes. It's a do.
Do it yourself.
Yeah. Do yourself it. Back after this, Tim Riley returns with the Ministry of Truth. We'll talk to Jim Roop. Dave says, stop the presses. Do not snake the toilet. We'll find out why after this on the Rick Emerson Show.